day today. A lot of news going on, as always. We're going to be bringing you guys some more stuff. These shows lately, they've been intense, and I appreciate you guys hanging in there with us, because I know some of this stuff isn't happy, you know, go feel great all the time, but a lot of this information needs to get brought out. There's so many people out there right now that have maybe been affected or had loved ones or family members be affected or possibly even die from this COVID-19, and if that has happened, I mean, our condolences to you. I mean, that's obviously a horrible situation. But you have to understand that you can't allow your grief to cloud your judgment when it comes to freedom and giving up your freedoms for security. I was on some of our social media pages last night for Health Masters and looking at some different stuff, and I had some direct messages from people that, you know, they hear our show and they like this direct messages and they can't send an email, and one of them was just, you know, blasting me about stuff we're saying. He said, I've had my nephew die, and he was 28 years old, and, you know, he's up there in New York and all this stuff. And, you know, I didn't really respond to anything back to him. I just kind of ignored it for right now because I didn't want to say anything that was disrespectful, for the main fact of when you're dealing with somebody like that that is blaming people that are perfectly healthy and blaming people for still trying to make a living and blaming people for trying to maintain their freedom for the death of one of their loved ones, you can't really have a concrete, rational thought, you know, conversation with them. And I understand that. And that's what everybody needs to understand right now, is that this stuff has affected a lot of people negatively. And it's horrible. That is. But at the same time, we can't allow that to cloud our judgment when it comes to our freedoms and when it comes to our constitutional rights, because we still have huge areas of the United States that have had hardly any serious cases, in minimal deaths at best, that have still been hit with these draconian laws. For example, down in Texas, you guys saw the woman that basically opened back up her salon and was doing appointments only, and said, you know, she had to pay her mortgage, she had to feed her children, and they basically sent her a cease and desist order that she had to shut down. She ignored that from the judge. They now basically got a warrant for her. They arrested her. They're now fining her, I think, $7,000, and they're throwing her in jail for 7 days. Now, here's the idiocy with this, just the absolute retard of this. You now have a woman that's been trying to use at least moderate social distancing. She's been keeping appointments only. She's told people if they feel bad at all, if they have any type of symptoms, they cannot come in. She's tried to maintain it the best she could so she could actually keep her bills and her mortgage and her children fed. And now she's going to be thrown in jail for an entire week with who knows who inside of the jail, not to mention who she's been exposed to during the initial arrest and the court arraignment and so forth and. And now she has to pay an exorbitant fine out of the money that she doesn't have, and now is no longer basically able to operate or make money because she's in jail, because the all-powerful state said that they know what's best for her and everybody around her. And that's an issue. You have to ask yourself a question. Are we really willing to give up our freedom? Are we really willing to give up our rights so that the state, the all-powerful state that knows best allegedly for us, can allegedly protect us, when we know for so many times they do not care about our safety or protection whatsoever? And I can give you case after case, incident after incident over the last 50 to 60 years that I've personally talked about on here, all the way back from Ruby Ridge, all the way back from the vaccine campaigns from Simeon 40 vaccine with the polio, all the way back to the swine flu with Gerald Ford with the mandate on that, and the list goes on. So when they tell you, we're doing this for your safety, we're arresting you and fining you and throwing you in jail with other inmates, it's for your protection, you really have to question the overall motive and use your brain on that. Don't be a mindless peasant. Use your brain, open your eyes, and see what's really going on, Dan.
You know, my deepest condolences to the man who contacted us on Facebook for the loss of his loved one. I have never said this is not a real virus. I've not said that once. This is real.
No.
And there are people dying from it all over the country. I have, since January, when we broke the story, because nobody else was even talking about this silly thing back in January, We told people you've got to build your immune system up. You've got to take the vitamin C. You've got to take the potassium iodide. You've got to seek medical attention if you come down with this thing. You've got to have vitamin D3. You've got to have zinc. We've been telling you this for months now, 5 months. We're the only ones who were really pushing this thing back in January. Everybody else thought it was a hoax. We told everybody it wasn't a hoax. I mean, we were serious about this thing, and we still are. But I reported last week from the doctor in the hospital in New York who says this thing peaked 2, 3, 4 weeks ago and has gone downhill steadily. Now, I'm going to say this also. The vast majority of the people who are dying are not 28 years old, all right? They're 70 plus.
Yep.
The vast majority of the people that are dying have impaired immune systems from other underlying conditions. Now, I don't know if the 28-year-old had other problems with his immune system. I don't know. I have no idea. My condolences to you and to your family for that loss. I don't know what else to say besides that. It's funny, this morning I was just talking to my wife, and we had our prayer time, and a man was laid on my heart who was my surrogate father back when I was a child. My parents got divorced. His name's Howard, and he ended up dying back in like 1999. And, you know, I really, really never had a chance to meet with him and say goodbye and all the other things that we all want to do as friends and our families that when people die and when they leave us. And so it leaves a gaping hole. And here it is, you know, 20 years later after this happened, over 20 years, and it still bothers me. And here's what I've learned when you have a loss of a loved one or a good friend that you didn't get a chance to say goodbye to, or even if you did get a chance to say goodbye to them, you still miss them. You never really get over a loss like this, somebody who's really close to you. You just learn to live with it to the best of your ability. And you have to let go and let God. I mean, I prayed about it this morning, and I said, Lord, just let me get past this. But guys, I want you to know this coronavirus is very, very real. People are dying from it. But we have to ask ourselves a question. What is going on from a economic standpoint of the United States? And, you know, and this is hard, too, because you got to be pragmatic. You got to be very utilitarian, and you got to be very pragmatic, and you got to step back and you got to say, look, is it okay to destroy the entire country and to put everybody into poverty and create another Great Depression, if not worse, in order to save the people that maybe not be savable? Gosh, I hate saying that, because some people, their immune systems are so impaired and they've not taken care of themselves. And of course, then you get the people that are healthy that have taken care of themselves who come down with this. So you get the whole group of people. So ask yourself a question. You know, this is one of the things they had to do in Germany, you know, during the war. The United States had to say, we're going to lose X amount of troops to win this war, to win this battle, and they had to calculate the costs. And you got to be that pragmatic with any of this stuff. You got to realize that people are going to die with this. People are going to die anyhow. You know, people are going to die of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, AIDS, whether or not they get COVID or not. But a lot of these people who have these diseases are being diagnosed as dying with COVID. I mean, this is what's going on right now. So it's difficult to sit back and say, hey, I've lost loved ones to this. But the Ted Nofsen Brower Show has never told you this thing was a hoax. This, you know, we got people out there saying it's a hoax. It is not a hoax. You know, and just like the flu's not a hoax. But again, we're having a massive overreaction to the country. So we lose a loved one, and we grieve. But should we go ahead and push the entire country into fiscal bankruptcy and have people start committing suicide all over the country because they can't pay their bills? I mean, right now, consumer debt has hit a new record high of $14.3 trillion. What does that mean? The 30 million people that have been laid off and have no jobs are living on credit cards. And what people do, okay, we're going to have a little chit-chat here. We're going to have a little fireside chat with Ted right now. What people do is they've got credit cards, many of them. And if they, let's say they've got $5,000 or $1,000 or whatever in cash, and that's all they've got left, and they've lost their job, and they're waiting for their unemployment checks to arrive, they're not going to use the little bit of cash they've got left to live. They're going to go to credit cards, because they have to have the cash for emergencies or to buy food or whatever happens. They're going to go on the credit cards. And that's why we have credit cards at $14.3 trillion now, which is insanity. And of course, this includes car loans and student debt and all the other things. So what ends up happening is you've got to learn how to mitigate that. And I'm not advocating bankruptcy. I have never been an advocate of bankruptcy. I think bankruptcy is Absolutely. The last choice. We got a letter from one of our listeners, a written, handwritten letter, and I forget, it was multiple pages long, and it was chewing Austin out because they said he advocated and promoted bankruptcy, which he never did. But let me ask you guys a question. You know, the Constitution of the United States says that if you have to file bankruptcy, you're allowed to. Now, why did they do that? Why did they do that? That was done to prevent indentured servitude. Because a lot of these people who are coming over to the colonies into the United States, they were basically coming into the colonies with borrowed money, and they had to sell themselves into indentured servitude or slavery for up to 7 years to get here. And they had to work on somebody else's farm or whatever, and they had paid their transit back across the ocean to get here. Well, the United States realized that this indentured servitude or a debtor's prison or whatever they could be put into wasn't okay. And they couldn't be held accountable for making bad mistakes for the rest of their life and be kept in slavery. So they gave them the ability to file bankruptcy. You can file corporate bankruptcy, you know, Chapter 11. You can Chapter 7 for personal bankruptcy. And you can reorganize also as an individual and try to pay the bills off. So here's my advice to all of you. This is an option that is a last resort. Now, listen to me very carefully. It shouldn't be your first resort. And you shouldn't go out and take all your credit cards and max them to the ability to just go buy yourself a new watch and whatever. Don't be doing stuff like that. I've known people who've done that because that's not okay. But if you're going to file bankruptcy, get yourself a good bankruptcy attorney and make sure that you don't have the ability to pay back the debt. Let me give you an example. I had a friend of mine. I can mention any names. In fact, very close friend. I've known him for 50 years, almost 50 years. And he went to college with me. And years ago, he was married to the wrong woman. Just to be honest with you, she was rough. She was rough. And she went out and signed a bunch of paperwork and actually forged his name to a bunch of dealerships, bought a bunch of cars, traded a bunch of stuff in, and then ended up, they got divorced, and then she stopped making payments, and they came back on him for all these vehicles she had bought. In addition to that, his dad had a business, and my friend had signed several of the invoices, and basically ended up owing all of this money that his dad owed, and it wasn't even his business because he had signed the invoices, right? On top of that, he was working in a grove down here, and he had a piece of equipment, and he had it on the side of the road, and somebody ran into the back of it through no fault of my friend's because it was lit up properly, but ended up getting the grove owner got sued. He was basically listed in there too, and they had $250,000 judgment on top of that. So on top of all of this, he's like $500,000 in debt. Well, he was making like, you know, $15 an hour. And you know, and it, with $500,000 in debt plus interest and penalties, it ain't going to get paid back. It's not going to happen. Okay? And the same thing happens to people with medical bills. They'll go into a hospital because they have an emergency. They don't have health insurance. And they end up with $1 million, $2 million, $3 million debt. Or they go through a divorce. Or they go through a business closure. Or they go through whatever. And they end up with these monstrous payments that can never be paid back. Can't be paid back. No matter what you do, if you punch the numbers, it won't work. The interest alone is more than you earn. Okay, so it can't be paid back, and it's no way to do it. When a person gets to that point, and after they prayed about it, and they've done everything they possibly can, if they file bankruptcy, I understand why they did it. Now, you say, wow, Ted, I can't believe you're talking to us like this. Well, yeah, I am, because here's the reason. If you don't do that, they're going to garnish your wages. They're going to get a judgment against you, and they're going to come and take every penny you make for the rest of your life. So what you're going to have to do, and what a lot of people have done, is they basically go off the grid. They start doing everything for cash. They stop using a bank account. They stop using credit cards, and they just don't pay the bill anyhow, and they get garnished. And in some states, if you don't pay your child support like this or whatever, they'll take your doggone driver's license, which you can't even work anymore. So, I mean, all of these laws, and then that blithering idiot George Bush, the way he changed the doggone bankruptcy laws, making it almost impossible to file bankruptcy now, and then they decided back 40, 50 years ago that you couldn't get rid of student loans on a discharge of bankruptcy, which is completely unconstitutional, by the way. You should be able to discharge everything. So the government and the Federal Reserve Bank has set things up for you right now to put you back into indentured servitude. I'm just being straight, all right? Years ago, I had a friend of mine bought a motorcycle. I told you the story before, and ended up losing the bike. He's like 18 years old. It was stolen. And one thing led to another thing, and they put it back into basically collections. And the person was told that they weren't going to file a lawsuit until the statute of limitations was about to expire on the suit, like 7 years later, so that individual would be through college. And at that point in time, the note that was $10,000 would be over $100,000. And at that point, they were going to garnish that person's wages for the rest of his life. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. And so my buddy, who was 18, 19, 20 years old at the time, he had to file bankruptcy because he had no job. And you think, well, that's awful. I didn't say it wasn't awful. But again, the motorcycle was stolen. You know, it was not. He didn't. It was one of those deals. And the same thing happens with divorce, business failure. I mean, look at all the people now in the United States that have businesses that can't generate revenue. This lady right now who basically was doing hair, and now she's got a $7,000 fine. Now she's basically a criminal, and she's probably going to lose her cosmetology license on top of everything else. And I guarantee you, she doesn't have the $100,000 or $200,000 to go fight this mess in court. So what a mess. This is tyranny. Now, I can't be any more direct to that. This is just straight tyranny. We are going to decide which businesses are essential, and we will shut you down and bankrupt you because we choose to do that because we are God and we are the all-powerful state. That's where we are right now in the United States. Now, you say, well, this is an awful show today. This is just negative. No, it's not negative. No, it's not negative. Because you have the ability by our Constitution to step away from the debts and start over again. I'm not advocating it. It is a last resort measure. So don't tell anybody that I'm promoting bankruptcy, because I am not. But it is better than indentured servitude. It is better than having to struggle for the rest of your life to try to pay your bills and never get caught up. Now, my buddy who filed bankruptcy, who basically had incurred all of his father's debt from his business, I spoke to the father, because the father called me up and he said, my son's filing bankruptcy. And I said, yeah, he is. And he goes, he's like $500 million in debt. He goes, well, I would never do that. I'm like, okay, are you going to pay off the bills? No, I can't do that either. Okay, so you're basically going to not pay the bills, have everything garnished, have to do everything in your wife's name for the rest of your life, and you're not going to pay the bills anyhow. I'm not going to pay him. I can't. I said, that's the point. You can't. So think through this stuff, guys. Think through all of this stuff. This is what they're doing to us. They're forcing us to this. Back in the 20s, when the Federal Reserve Bank, which is more dangerous than this doggone coronavirus, when they contracted the M1 money supply, thousands and thousands of family farms were turned back to the banks, and the Federal Reserve Group seized all the land, creating these giant monopolies now of farmland. My dad was there. It happened. My grandfather had to break the farm up into the individual kids. He had five children. Everybody got like 300 acres to farm in order to keep them because they couldn't hire people. They had no money coming just to make the payments. This is why it's so important, and we talked about this many times over the last 6 years. You know, watch your finances. Do you really need a $300 a month cable TV bill? I mean, honestly, really, I mean, who watches TV anymore anyhow? You need the internet, but you don't need cable TV. Do you really need to have the fanciest car on the block? Probably not. Do you really need to get a new truck all the time? Probably not. Do you really need to send those children to an Ivy League school or a private school at four or five times the tuition cost versus a state school? Absolutely not. And my kids don't do that kind of stuff, okay? We always keep the prices down. Or if they don't get scholarships, they're going to have to go right back to the state school. That's how I look at all of this stuff with financing stuff and paying stuff off. Is it really worth running those credit cards up when times are good to buy that big screen TV? You got to have an 85-inch LED or a 100-inch LED, or you got to have the latest, greatest electric. Promise, or you got to get yourself a new iPhone every 6 weeks or 12 weeks or 5 weeks or every year. Do you really have to do that? Prioritize stuff, guys. Number one, you got to have a good relationship with God. That's number one. You got to be supporting your local church. Do that to the best of your ability. Number two, you got to eat clean. You really do. You can't be compromising your health by eating a bunch of junk food because it's 10 cents cheaper a pound. Don't do that. You got to be on good supplements, because if your health goes sideways, you could end up in the hospital with this giant impossible to pay bill. That's really important that you get that. And then you got to keep everything cut back. I told you the story of a man who basically was just having to have $8,000 a month of money coming in every month after tax income in order just to pay his bills. And he wanted me to help him. And I said, well, I can help you. Let's call him. No, we won't call him anything. I'm not going to mention any names. And I told him, I said, look, let me look at your numbers. If you want me to help you, that's a lot of money, bud. I said, you know, I can't do that, but I can try to help you a little bit. I looked at his numbers. I was able to cut him back down to about $2,500 a month. But he had to cut out the $300 a month cable bill. And he said to me, well, I can do it. I'm not doing all that. And I said, okay, great. I said, because who's going to pay your $8,000 next month and the next month and the next month and the next month to sustain this lifestyle? Sometimes you got to cut the lifestyle back. And that's very difficult to do. I'm going to give you one more bit of a financial advice. And this is so important. Please listen to me, because you're not going to hear this from anybody else. We're the only people who talk about this stuff. These are things that nobody wants to talk about. If you've got a business, and let's say you're generating $100,000 a year in the good years, and in the bad years you're generating $35,000 or $40,000 in profit, okay? Live at that $35,000 level. Listen to me, bud. This is so important, guys. This is so – ladies, listen to me. Live at the $35,000 level. And just don't – keep it there, just right there. And don't go over that. So next year if you make $100,000, that's okay. Stay at $35,000. Just stay there, you know? Pay off some more of the bills you got with the extra money, whatever. Don't exceed the lifestyle. Don't go out and buy yourself a new house. Don't go out and buy yourself. Don't do that. Don't exceed your trough on business, because everything is cyclical, all of it. It talks about this in Ecclesiastes with the seasons. So they come and they go and they come and they go. All of this stuff is the way the world works. It's seasonal and it's cyclical. And you're going to have 1 month to be high, 1 month to be low, 1 month to be high, 1 month to be low, 1 month to be high, 1 month to be low. Find out where that trough is and stay there. Well, I can't. I don't want to live there. I want to get that new car. Okay, well, okay. You go ahead and do it. You know, I've been there, done that. And all of a sudden, now you're selling everything, trying to figure out how to get rid of these doggone installment payments. Guys, it's really important to understand that you got to do your best to stay debt-free. Because remember, the borrower is always servant to the lender. And that's the word of God. Same thing. I'm not taking supplements. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. I'll see you come down with some kind of heart disease problem or some kind of flu virus or whatever. And now all of a sudden, all that money that you said you saved by not spending a few dollars every month to eat clean and take supplements, now all of a sudden it's all going to the hospital. Don't do that. Think through it. Remember, your health is your most valuable asset, number one, while you're on this planet. That's it. Your eternal health basically is based on your relation with Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and Savior. And the day that you're born again, you live forever from a spiritual standpoint. Now, remember that. So always keep your priorities in order. If your husband comes to you, well, I want to buy this. Your wife may need to say, I love you, honey, but you take this out of the budget. Or the wife may come in and say, well, I want to buy this. And the husband, you say, honey, I love you, but you know, this is in the budget. Marital problems, one of the primary problems of marital problems is money. And guys, do yourself a favor. Remember this. Don't be fussing at your wife because she doesn't have a job or not making enough money. If she's raising your children and taking care of the household things and all that. Having children and raising kids is a full-time job. It's a full-time job. And ladies, if the role's reversed and you're the one, you're an attorney or you're a doctor and you're helping your husband and he's helping the kids and all that, don't be fussing at him either. You know, we're all in this together. It's called the game of life, so to speak. Support one another. That's what we do. We support one another. And that's why Sharon and I have got such a good marriage. That's why we've been married for 37 years. Because we support one another. You know, the other day, I was at the gym and I came home and the breakfast dishes weren't done. The dishwasher wasn't done. I mean, it was a mess. The whole countertop was in. Sharon's not like that. It was one of those mornings she just got herself wrapped up in something else. And I came home, and I mean, the kitchen was a wreck. And I started doing dishes. And I said to her, I said, Sharon, we really need to try to keep this kitchen picked up a little bit. That was real nice. And she got all defensive, got all mad. What do you mean by that? I'm like, it's a wreck. And she wanted to start a fight. Between me and you, she wanted to start a fight. And I looked at her, and I said, I'm not going to fight with you. She said, what do you mean? I'm looking for the fight. I'm like, I'm just doing the dishes. I'm doing the dishes and I'm going to clean the countertops. It ain't worth fighting over dishes. It ain't worth cashing chips over something stupid. Finally, she calmed down. So, I'm sorry. I should have had it clean. I said, I thank you. It's okay. It's no big deal. I'm just doing the dishes. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with our loved ones. We all work together synergistically to have this great life. And I know I pontificated this morning, but I had to get off on that because, Austin, we get so many letters from you guys. I love you. Don't get me wrong, but I'll be honest with you. And all my letters are screened. Why do I screen my letters? Well, number one, I don't want negative stuff in my mind because some of the stuff that we get is from weirdos. And I know you guys are listening to the show aren't weirdos, but I mean, we get some weirdo letters. I mean, some weird stuff. I mean, some satanic stuff, some weird stuff. And I don't want to be exposing my brain to that to think about it. I want to keep my brain clear for this show every day where I talk to you guys. But guys, think about what I said today. Think about what I'm saying right now. You know, we've got to support each other. We've got to learn to walk in love and love each other. And guys, husband and wives, listen to me. As this economy, if they don't turn it back on, it'll continue to do weird things and erode. We've got to be there for each other, and we've got to support each other. Husbands, wives, children, all of you guys, sit down with your kids if they're a bunch of brats, which they probably are because I know my kids sometimes are a bunch of brats, and talk to them. Say, hey, look. You know, we got to cut back on this. We have to get one of, you know, you guys got these cars. We're paying for these cars. We're getting rid of the two of the cars. You guys got to share a ride. What do you mean? Well, how about we just don't give you a ride? How about you take Uber everywhere? How about we've had enough of paying your insurance every month? Okay. All of these things have to be talked about in advance. Because if you don't do it, guys, then if something hits the fan and no one talked about it, no one's been prepared for it, then you don't have a contingency plan. Always have a contingency plan. Man, I'm done talking. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's really well said. And, I mean, there's so much stuff going along from the countries right now that, you know, we need to look at it from a full spectrum. I was talking to my guy that's installing my countertops yesterday in my house that I'm still working on. And, you know, we were just kind of talking a little bit. He was finishing some stuff up. And, you know, I'm just kind of getting some ideas as far as how he thinks about it, you know. And I was kind of throwing some stuff out there, and he was about awake. Well, not as awake as me, that's, but he was very awake. And he goes, the thing I've pretty much started to realize with this, Austin, he said, whatever's happening right here, they want us to look at it, and they're doing something else behind our back. He goes, it's a magic trick. And I said, ah, I said, now you're talking. I said, you're 100% accurate. And then I started talking to him about what all these different tech companies are doing and how we have basically the researchers of Southern California, Emory, and the University of Texas, along with Google and Apple, that are now working on all these apps that are now going to basically give you a coronavirus risk score depending on who you go around and where you go and who you're exposed to and so forth. And I said, so they can basically ostracize you or block you or ban you from going into certain places. Because I promise you guys, they're not building these apps because it's just something they feel like doing this weekend and they're bored. They're building these apps because they're going to roll them out full-blown open next year once they start getting the vaccines. I've already talked to multiple people that I know that are involved in different aspects of technology that are awake. And they've pretty much all told me, not in unison, but for the most part, that they're going to start having these things just like China, to where if you want to go to, say, the Millennium Mall in Orlando, they're going to make you show your digital certificate on your phone. Basically, you've got a green pass. You're good to go. Your score's low. You have an immunity, or you have your vaccine, or whatever they're going to add into it. Nobody's really sure how far they're going to take this. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to say, we can't control this. We got to make sure we're only letting people in the mall that basically are okay. And people go, no, that never happened in the United States. Well, okay. It's already happening all over the world. All over the world are already doing this. In Nice, France, if you guys have seen this, the mayor of Nice has already said now that all the citizens are going to have to start carrying health passports if they wish to travel. Christian Ostrin, the mayor of Nice, put a letter out unveiling the plan after the Prime Minister Edouard Philippe talked about an ease to stay-at-home restrictions. He said now they're going to allow people. He goes, we're basically going to be generous, and we're going to allow people to travel up to 62 miles away from their home. I mean, we're being generous here. We're now going to allow you to travel 62 miles away from your home. This is big stuff, guys. I mean, we're being some generous masters. I mean, you peasants should thank us. 62 miles away from your home. And he said the way they're going to do this is they're going to have checkpoints. And the law enforcement at checkpoints are going to have to see the passport of the individual that's showing they've tested negative to coronavirus, they have an antibody to coronavirus, or they've taken a vaccine to coronavirus. Right here. That's what they're talking about. Exactly what Bill Gates said 4 weeks ago in that Reddit column that he was talking about. Exactly. 2AT. Interesting. Now, Germany is also discussing mandating coronavirus immunity cards that have allowed people to either develop coronavirus or they basically have an immunity to it or have been vaccinated. Now, what's interesting about this is we're being told these drastic lockdown and social distancing rules are all to get us back to normal. What we're not being told is if we capitulate with these rules, we will never be back to normal. Ever. You can mark my word on it, guys. The United States will never go back to what it was. Europe will never go back to what it was. If nobody stands up and says, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to continue to drive freely, unmolested on our way. We're not going to stop your unconstitutional roadblocks. And I'm not going to show you any type of identification for traveling freely because I have broken no laws. And you have no reasonable cause to ask me for any information. Meanwhile, hundreds, if not thousands of people every single day in Europe and the United States are coming in via flights still that are flying around with no checks at all. I told you guys personally, my in-laws personally are missionaries to Ecuador. They got so bad with the civil unrest down there, they basically had to get a flight out. They got a flight out of Ecuador, flew from Ecuador to Miami. They landed in Miami, they got off the plane, they walked out, and it was crickets. They stamped their passport, didn't ask them what they were doing, didn't ask them where they were coming from, didn't check their temperature, didn't ask them any questions, didn't make them fill out any of their personal data, nothing. Let them walk all the way in. And I'm not saying that my in-laws needed to be locked down and put into a police station. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is here is the contradiction that they're telling us, that they want you to have a passport immunity card or whatever they want to call it to be able to just travel freely or go do things or to open up your own business and make money. Yet people are flying in from hot spots in other countries in airlines, and they're not even stopping them and doing anything about it and talking to them and scanning their temperature. So which one is it? Are we trying to protect countries from getting overwhelmed? Are we trying to stop the spread of this? Or are we simply seeing how far the government can go? I just watched a video. My dad was talking. Video. Another one in Texas. There was a bar that opened up. They said they were going to serve food, but apparently they were only serving alcohol there. They were limited capacity. SWAT team showed up. Why? Because multiple individuals were at the bar, armed, open carrying, per the owner's request. Because you can do that in Texas. You can open carry in Texas. And they said, how dare you open the bar? You are non-essential. You have to close. They got reports that there were armed men there. They sent the SWAT team with a gigantic MRAP. You can look at it online. MRAP, big boy, big one. Got a guy in the turret with an M4 pointed at the men because they're open carrying at a bar that they said is not allowed to be closed. Arrested them. I think one got like disorderly conduct, another one got violation of emergency order. Still looking into it right now. So where is this exactly going, guys? I'm just throwing that question out there because I'm kind of at a loss for words now, too. Where is this going to go? how far are we going to sit around and just go twiddly dumb? It's all for our protection. We don't want anybody to get sick, so we're just going to continue to bankrupt. And Dad nailed it. Dad nailed it 15 minutes ago. This is all about getting everybody back into indentured servitude. There were not enough people in debt. The debt ratio is not high enough. Because remember, a populace that has sound money, that has gold and silver, and that has little to no debt, and that is well-armed, is a populace that's almost impossible to control from a tyrannical standpoint. It's almost impossible, because you have no strings on them. There's nothing you can really do to them. You can't come in and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, because you just say, how about no? How about I just don't participate today? How about that? So what do? They forcibly shut down businesses, and that's the issue I've had with this. Why in the world are they allowed to become essentially God with a little g on earth and dictate who is essential and who's not? When I went to Walmart 3-4 weeks ago with Dad, I had to buy an extra door handle in the middle of the night because I was trying to lock up my house. It's all locked up and deadbolted now, all secured down, and I had to get a lock. We had to go to Walmart. There's people all over the place. People walking around everywhere. It's Walmart. Well, that's fine. Walmart's essential. People can go there. But Susie Q down the road that wants to have scheduled hair salon and bring people in one at a time to do their hair, and they sit in a chair for 2 hours, and she wears a mask while she does their hair, they're not essential. She can't do that. That's illegal. But you can pile 500 people into Walmart and run around, coughing and hacking and spitting and yelling around everybody. That's perfectly fine. Why? Because Walmart's essential. Always remember who these globalist companies are. Amazon's up, what they say, Jeff Bezos' net worth allegedly is up $23 billion now since this coronavirus. Because everybody's buying stuff on Amazon. Everybody's going to Walmart now. Everybody's buying from these big stores. You notice how it's all the main giant stores that are the only ones that are allowed open? All these small mom-and-pop stores and small companies and small businesses they've tried to shut down? That's why we're registered as a certified grocery store. We are essential. They cannot say a word to us about it. We are blessed because of that, and that's why we continue to keep giving you guys as much info as we can. We keep speaking freely, and we keep sending you guys the highest quality supplements we can physically do so. And we're going to keep doing so. That's why we keep getting this information out there. We want people to stay healthy. We want people to stay strong, and we want people to stay awake and stay free. The comment, you know, the Benjamin Franklin's always said that reference, those who give up their freedom for security deserve neither. And that's exactly where we are right now. We're begging the government to come in and protect us with an iron fist while they step on our face with a boot and say, thank you for protecting us. Shut up, peasant. If you don't let us protect us, we're going to kill you and throw you in jail. Okay, thank you, master. Can you protect me more, master? That's how a lot of these sheep are acting. And it's nauseating to me. This is a real virus. You need to use wisdom. You need to use proper sanitation. You, by all means, need to keep your immune system strong with high-quality supplements. What you do not need to do is snitch on your neighbors for having a one-year-old birthday party. Or call the cops because you want them to come around and patrol the neighborhood to make sure nobody's outside. Or give up your freedoms and rights. And essentially your soul is where this is going. They're playing for blood. This isn't a game to them. Understand what's going on. In Canada now, in the midst of all this going on, you guys saw, I'm sure probably a week and a half ago, I briefly touched on it, there was a shooting in Nova Scotia. They said it was the deadliest mass shooting in Canada in history, Trudeau announced. However, those numbers that I've seen now, they said 22 people were murdered. 22 people were murdered. But I found out this guy went on a rampage, and then there was a fire that started at another building, and ended up like 9 people ended up dying from a fire and asphyxiation and everything else, and they were included in those numbers, which doesn't surprise me. Canada loves their propaganda. Well, if you guys have seen now, as of yesterday, Trudeau now announced that effective immediately, they are now banning over 1,500 different styles and models of semi-automatic sporting rifles. They're calling them assault rifles. He said you are no longer permitted to buy, sell, transport, import, or use any any type of assault weapon or military-grade style semi-automatic weapon in this country for the people that actually own them, because, remember, they're registered up there. They will have a two-year amnesty period for law-abiding citizens for fair compensation to turn in their firearms. After 2 years, you'll be charged with a felony if you're in possession of one of these semi-automatic sporting rifles with standard capacity magazine. That just happened in Canada, guys. That just happened in Canada. Canada's already had moderately strict gun laws, but you've still been able to buy a lot of these weapons, semi-automatic sporting rifles. That's done now. That has officially stopped. They are now in the process of doing a full-blown disarmament campaign in Canada over the next 2 years. How's that going to work out for them? How's that work out in Australia? How's that worked out in every country that's happened? Remember, the only way to get the United States completely disarmed is to ban everything around it. They can't have Canada armed and the United States not, and vice versa. The next step, guys, I'm telling you right now, the next step is going to be some type of disarmament campaign for the United States. They're going to say that the United States is too unruly, that this coronavirus is putting stress on too many people, and that nobody needs a semi-automatic sporting rifle. Every single country that they've banned these in, every single country, including New Zealand, they use the exact same phrase, the exact same narrative, and the exact same situation. Wake up and understand what's going on, guys. Once they disarm the populace, it's game over. That's when they show up to your house with MRAPs and breach your front door at 4 a.m. with a flashbang and strap the entire family down to a gurney and inject you with a vaccine for your protection. And if you resist, they kill you if you don't let them protect you. That's the lunacy of where we're going with some of these idiots and how far they're willing to go. Don't believe me? Look at where it's already going in certain countries and understand it's not going to stop. They have the momentum right now. They have this entire situation rolling in their favor. And the longer that it keeps going and the longer that people get on their knees and beg to be put into prison for operating and doing things, the more this is going to get and the further it's going to go down.
And oh, by the way, all you guys that are licking Trump's boots, I just said it, didn't I? Yeah, the Trump bootlickers, he's already tried to change the doggone laws with his Kabbalah's daughter going to every single senator and House member last summer, less than a year ago, trying to do red flag gun laws in the entire country for making them federal mandate.
Yep.
So if you want to keep, as long as you want to lick Trump's boots, you go ahead and just lick away. He's going to do more damage to the United States than Hillary Clinton could have thought about on some kind of fantasy pill. He's going to do more damage to this country than Hillary Clinton ever could have done as far as gun rights. Canada just did it. Trump's got a plan! Woohoo! His plan sucks, excuse my language. He's not a plan. Trump's a figurehead. The Rothschilds have the plan. International banks have the plan. These are the guys who have the plan. Fauci has the plan, working with the international banks and working with Bill Gates, all these Rothschild cutouts. Jeff Bezos worth $100 billion, nonsense. Amazon's worth $100 billion. Jeff Bezos is a figurehead. He's another Rothschild cartel taking it all over, trying to control every retail sale in the whole planet is what they're trying to do. Giant corporations controlling everything. That's why they want the mom and pops, who are basically independent from government edicts, because they have a little bit of money saved up and can basically survive on their own for a bit. They don't want them around. Heaven forbid you be independently wealthy, even to a little bit of money. It's like Austin. Austin, when Austin was building this house, we started off with an 1,800 square foot house with Austin. Now we had to pick up about 150 more square feet just to basically make it so it was going to be okay on the lot he was in. He's not building some giant monstrosity. He's building a 2,000 square foot home. You know, he had to think through, you know, where his payments needed to be and what he could do. I mean, think through everything that you're doing and think through what they're doing to you. Think about what they're doing in Canada. You have 2 years, peasants, to turn in your weapons. After that, you're going to be committing felonies. We're going to go house to house and seize everything. The lawlessness in Australia has gone through the roof. The lawlessness in England has gone through the roof. They don't shoot people over there as much anymore. They like to hack them to death with machetes. And the average citizen can't even defend themselves. That's where they're taking us. Because a disarmed public cannot say no to the tyranny. Donald Trump if he gets four more years, the damage that he's going to do to the United States because of the apathy of the Christian patriot community thinking that Q is telling the truth and that Donald Trump is the savior of all time, he's not. He has more CFR members, more Goldman Sachs members, more. Trump shut down the country. Trump is not making excuses. We had the best economy, the best this, and then I had to close the country down to save lives. It's what we're going to do. Just watch that doggone horrible interview he did last night on ABC. He looks like a cat on a hot tin roof. Yeah, that's what he looks like. He knows he's following a script, and he basically has to follow that script. Guys, we need a real patriot in the White House like Ron Paul, but he's too old now. They never gave him any time in the media. They discounted him, said he was a Fruit Loop, but he was not. I mean, we need that doggone governor of South Dakota in the White House is what we need. That lady, that gnome, she's amazing. I'm not closing down the state. Blah, blah, blah. We're not doing it. I like her. Somebody like that. Gosh, you know, I mean, I wish she would run for president. But guys, this is the problem that we have. They don't give us the choices that we need. And then we get the special interest groups that never stop. There's a lady, her name's Dr. Judy Mikovits. She basically has a PhD from George Washington University and went to the University of Virginia. Brilliant, brilliant woman. She's been doing research now for 40 years. The lady's absolutely stunningly brilliant. I heard one of her videos last night and I posted it on the Health Masters news site. Well, guess what happened? She started finding out that there were all kinds of viruses and vaccines, and they were causing all kinds of health problems, including different types of cancer. From her research, she discovered this. This is one of the ladies who worked and developed a lot of the AIDS drugs. This lady's absolutely breathtakingly smart. And so what did they do? She was arrested on November the 18th, you know, back in 2011. Why'd they arrest her? Because she went public with her research because they were lying about the results. And she basically went to her laboratory and she took her notebooks, which I guess would be proprietary information for the people she was working for. Her notebooks. She took her own notebooks and they put her in prison because she was telling the truth of what was going on. All of this stuff basically is being erased because the people who run the international banks own the international pharmaceutical corporations. They put her in prison, guys. Because she went public with the research and they destroyed the research she had done. They shredded it, burned it, or whatever they wanted to do to it, so she couldn't prove that they were lying. This happens all the time. That's why there's so many of these doctors are dropping dead by, you know, shooting themselves in the back of the head five times. Okay, well, I'm just using that as an example. I'm being silly right now, but that's what's happening. They're finding them dead from all these different gun wounds, or they drowned it, or they put themselves in concrete shoes and tied a rope around their neck and sunk themselves to the bottom of the pond, you know, with their hands tied behind their back, you know. What? No, this is crazy what's going on with natural doctors that are blowing the whistle. I mean, it's crazy. And I said over 100 are gone now. And she said this. They either discredit you or they kill you on this video that I sent and put on Health Master's website last night. Another show host sent me this link, and he has a national TV show on a Christian network on TV, and so he wants me to come in and talk about this stuff, and I said, why don't we just bring her on your show? You know, let me try to get in touch with her. Get her on my show. She's telling the truth of what's happening with Fauci and all the rest of these guys, and this propaganda pushing these vaccines. Guys, this vaccine thing ain't what you think it's going to be. You know, remember Savage said, until you give me a clean vaccine, I'm not taking. Until you give me, if you try to give me a vaccine that's rushed, I'm going to go join a militia. Yeah, you know, I'm not taking it. This is what Savage said. You know, Mike Savage, the doggone national talk show host who has like 4 million listeners a day. This is where we are going with this, guys. And they want a disarmed populace. So we just shut up and lick Trump's boots. Guys, think through what's going on. Trump is a figurehead. He told us what we wanted to hear, and we believed him. I did too. I believed it too, guys. I'm not going to sit here. Yeah, I promoted Trump. I had a huge sign in my backyard for Trump on the road. I mean, for 6 months after the election. I was so excited that we got somebody who wasn't controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel. Wrong again. I just, I really thought that we had somebody, and all of a sudden there's all these Goldman Sachs people, CFR members, and I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. And then he got all those pastors in his doggone Oval Office. They were praying for him. And they got handled to make sure they did what was supposed to be done. And you got all these big old mega church pastors that basically will not, because they don't want to lose what they have with their 501c corporations and the lifestyle that they have. I'm being straight with you guys now. I'm telling you the truth, because a lot of these are God-fearing men. A lot of them preach the truth as far as salvation. But they've got to sit back and look at their giant organization with their hundreds of employees and figure out how to make it work if they start losing large amounts of giving units, if they start mixing all this stuff together and people get angry. I chose not to do that on this show when Austin and I started this thing 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it's been now, I don't even know anymore. I chose to tell you guys the truth and let the dominoes fall where they fell. You know, like the other day when I was on Hagman, you know, I was talking to Doug about Trump, and Doug said something to me at the end. I said, look, if you guys want to support us, support us. If you don't. I'm not going to sit here, and you guys know we make high-quality stuff. I'm not going to be badgering you. I'm not going to do it, guys. We bought the clock on this show. That means I don't have any advertisers. And if I can't tell you the truth, and I've told you this before, I'm going to step off and be done with this, because I am not going to be one of these guys that capitulate, who compromise. I won't do it. I mean, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all say things and do things we shouldn't ought to do. That happens, as Paul talks about that in the book of Corinthians. He says, why do I do the things that I shouldn't do and the things I'm supposed to do I don't do? We all have to deal with issues in our life. But guys, one thing we don't have to deal with is compromise when it comes to the truth of what's happening nationally. I've told you. I've gone into detail. I've told you exactly who runs this planet, why they do it, and how they're doing it. And I've let you guys know. This is a circus clown act. Last night, I had another talk show host. I called him up. He's telling me we're about to go to war with China. And I sat down, and I talked to him last night on the phone, and I said, I gave him my scenario of what I tell you guys. He goes, well, yeah, that's true. That could be happening too. And he goes, let's talk about another scenario. Let's talk about Antarctica. I started laughing, and I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, that could be true too. We have an off-world civilization of these demons and weirdo things and these angels that control a lot. I mean, you think about the fact that John Kerry or whoever the guy was, I can't remember now, was at Antarctica during the last election, you know, checking on penguins. What the heck? Are you kidding me? The Secretary of Defense or say whatever it was. There's something else going on too. There's this giant picture. But see, my scenario encompasses that because of the interdimensional entities that run the planet. I cover all that. And unless you understand what's going on, okay, I'm not going to go there. We don't have time. But guys, it's so important to understand what's going on. I mean, remember, here's another article from Zero Hedge. I like Zero Hedge. Elvis was king. Eisenhower, who I don't care for, was president. And 116,000 Americans died in a pandemic with a type of flu virus that went through the country. And nobody shut the country down. Remember, the population was only 172 million then, and a huge amount of people died, and nobody shut the country down. We've got to understand what's going on. Here's an article from 1957 from New York Times. Let us all keep a cool head about Asian influenza. Statistics on the spread and the violence and the virulence of this disease begin to accumulate. For one thing, let us be sure that the 1957 type A influenza is innocuous, as early returns show, and that antibiotics can indeed control the complications that may develop. Let us not forget that serious epidemics of flu have been predicted by flu specialists for many years now, and the disaster of 40 years ago is well remembered. Guys, they're warning us not to panic in this article from the New York Times 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And what we've done is we've allowed a group of people who are controlled by the pharmaceutical industry to tell us we have to have a vaccine. We've got to shelter in place. We've got to shut the whole planet down. Again, my deepest condolences to anyone who's lost a family member or a loved one or a friend or anybody they've known to this coronavirus, which is very, very real. But guys, we can't destroy the planet for this. It's not worth it. We are not talking about bubonic plague and two-thirds of the planet's going to die, and they're going to have carts come by every day saying, bring out your dead, bring out your dead, and we're having to burn bodies and put them into mass graves. This is not that. Let's keep cool heads about it and stay healthy. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are amazing. I love talking to you every day. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Another weird situation that I want everybody to look at is the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center researcher, Dr. Bing Liu, 37, was just executed in his house two nights ago, if you guys saw this. Strange situation. He basically said he was on the verge of significant findings around the cellular mechanism and how to take care of COVID-19. All of a sudden, this 46-year-old guy shot and killed, walked in his house, shot him like six times. The guy walked back out of the house, got in his car, shot himself in the head. Very strange. Murder-suicide. And this kid, apparently 36 years old, is my age, Pittsburgh Medical Center researcher, said he had numerous findings that he was already coming out with, and now I'm sure all of his research will suddenly disappear, go into evidence, or somehow got lost or broken. Guys, these things aren't coincidences when they happen. Just like we see in the media now down here in Florida, I called this out. I knew this was going to happen weeks ago. I told you guys it's to get ready for it. Anytime you have states that are going to open, they're going to twist the narrative on it. They said that Florida, a stupid article came out of TampaBay.com. They said, one day after reopening, Florida recorded a record number of new deaths, 113 fatalities in one day, 11 in Tampa Bay alone. After Florida opened up, this is too early. First off, it's physically impossible to open the state one day and the virus spread that fast, hospitalize all those people, and they all suddenly die on the same day. Most of these people that have checked out from COVID-19, it takes weeks to basically check out unless you're very, very sick when you get this. Newsflash for everybody, Florida hasn't even reopened. They're allowing outside seating at restaurants, and you can actually, imagine this, walk out on the beach and do something. So this propaganda, this rhetoric, and we've already seen so many times these numbers have been skewed, and they change and they float around, and we know that they're riding COVID-19 on pretty much almost every single death. Wake up and see what's going on, guys. Understand what we're being told and what we're being lied to about this. Keep your immune system strong. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com. Specials going on, as always. Product of the week will be changing here very shortly. You guys voted and it won. The ultimate multiple chewable will be on sale here in the next hour. Thank you again for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded.